ultimately, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how, but we can decide how we meet that end. In order that we are remembered as men.
Here we are again, and this brings us to another episode of Sean Hammer. I know it's been a bit. I got excuses upon excuses, but some of these are good, some are bad. One, MS is a real thing. It'll fuck you up. It'll put you down, take you out of commission for a while, everything like that. I have MS. Not happy about it. Affects my vision, my legs, my walking, even my painting. But that said, we will be going over Rogue Trader supplement today for Kill Team. I was hoping a little bit more with this book and box set a little bit, but I'm not entirely too displeased. So let's talk about what I've been doing. I've been running the Kill Team campaign. Tomorrow we finish up month one. We start on month two, so we have a first prize to give out to somebody. I've been painting a lot. And not just miniatures. I've been painting rooms and everything because I moved. And that's been taking a lot of time and energy as well. Let's see. What have I been painting? Well, I got my Nurgle kill team done. I've been working on some Blood Bowl dwarfs with my buddy Jason. Those are near complete. Let's see. I painted some Mechanicus. Oh, yeah. I got my Cobra kill team done. I got them done from the head swaps from Reptilian Overlords. They do some heads that look like Cobra heads, and they got Destro and Cobra Commander, and they had some Crimson Guard on there too, so hopefully I can find those so I can finish it up. But I did a whole kill team based on Cobra, and I'll share that picture on the Facebook page and also the home screen for the podcast. Let's see. Last time we talked, we went over some terrain. I have five boards now. I picked up the Wall of Martyrs, and I also picked up Tau. Now, they're going to be pretty fun. They're a little bit different than Imperial Guard and stuff, and, well, it gives me a chance to have some stealth suits because, well, they're freaking badass. And I forgot who did it. I'll try and remember when I go over to Tau. I got a Tau resting sniper chick. She's naked, got her armor off, holding a rifle, which we're going to make the real rifle because, well, like I said, we'll go over to Tau and you understand that, well, you need the real rifle for Tau of the Ion rifle. That's about it. Moving, painting, getting some games of Kill Team in, running that event. Like I said, tomorrow is the first month wrap-up. I'll put the the results on the I'll tell you next time how it went and everything. And I'm just trying to have some good time with this, get people into the store, and I'm glad we can do it with 40K. Rules are a little bit easier and not in conflux like Malifaux right now, which I would love Malifaux to be done with the beta and get the hell on with it so we can actually get to playing Malifaux again. But Kill Team, I like it. It's a very fun game. It's pretty. You play on nice mats. Terrain looks good. Armies look good. It's fun time, short games, objective-type missions. So, let's go ahead and go over the Rogue Trader booklet and the box set. Well, they released a dice, but you didn't get dice. You didn't get the rule book and the thing. You got an expansion of the rules for two groups in there. Inside the box two, we got two mini codexes. One for the Rogue Trader. I forget what they're called. I suck at this, but basically the Rogue Trader group and the Nurgle Mutant team. So you can play those in 40K. So that was a good little treat there if you're playing 40K and you want to include any of these in your army. You got some terrain, which isn't as in-depth, 3D-ish. I mean, it is 3D, but not substantial as compared to the other ones, because your two maps are inside maps. One is the temple, and one, of course, is the Rogue Trader ship. I suck. The Truehawk. Now, I was hoping the rules would be a little bit better with close confined fighting, especially on a ship. Not entirely too bad, and I got a little bit of a tweak and stuff that I'll do. I'll explain it as we go along. So first and foremost, we open this thin book, and we got some art. It shows us, the whole crew, the Rogue Trader, the captain, everybody that goes along with it. Shows us the growing sickness, which is some mutants, Nurgle mutants. They look totally badass. They just do. So, we break down, we have the Truehawk. It's a ship. In the ship, it has walls, and you will have doors. Doors and small tables, computer consoles, and engine parts, I guess, are the terrain pieces that you'll be putting on the boards. The walls are on the board, so they're like printed, so you have to imagine they're there. Well, not really imagine, but just see them. It would be pretty cool to make this a 3D board. I'm just saying. But, we got the different parts of Truehawk. They got labeled all out. Everything from engines, cargo bays, to magnet lift control, and crawl space entrances. It goes into a little bit of historical battle, what happens, and it shows the Ministerium Shrine. This is just a shrine. A whole bunch of walls, doors, different shit on the inside. Looks like a HeroClix map, and the reason I say that is it's gridded out. I haven't played a game on either of these maps right now, so to be fair. Let's see. We have some new rules that come with fighting on the ship and the temple. Not a lot, so bear with me. We got ultra close confines. So it says that both wall on sides of the map have walls. And these are represented by thin red lines. They're walls. When you're measuring, you can't measure through a wall, blah-de-da-da, because, well, it's a freaking wall, people. Movement. Models cannot move through walls. This includes models that can fly and normally ignore terrain for movement purposes. Don't be douchebags, people. It's a freaking wall. Visibility is cut down by walls. In addition to the usual rules for determining if one model is visible to another, models cannot see through walls. This means a model can see another model if it's possible to draw an imaginary line 1 millimeter within width from the closest part of the first model's base to the other part of the model's base, with the line crossing the wall. An example, and what that does is we got obscured. In addition to normal use of rules for obscured, for determining if a target's obscured, for which you need to go get a model's point, you need to get down on the point of view of the model. If it's necessary to determine if any intervening walls may help obscure the target. So, but if they do, you draw a straight line. If a line can be drawn through all parts of the target's base without crossing wall, they are not obscured by any walls. Let's see. So yeah, it's just like, yeah, that's nothing really. It's just walls can be obscuring if they break your stuff. So pretty much everyone who plays this game right now knows that that's the do and the don't. You have doors. They are closed until you move a guy. Doors block line of fire. Close at the start of a mission, in which case they block movement and visibility, and block measurements in the same way as a wall. Doors cannot be target of attack by either player's models. Infantry model can open a door, close an open door, if either it starts the movement phase within one of the door and remains stationary for that phase, or if it ends a normal move within 1 inch of there, and there are no enemies within 1 inch of it, the model cannot open or close the door if it's shaken, ready, blah, blah, blah. So we got doors we can open and close. That is it with your special rules. We got walls. Walls can cause obscurement, and we have doors. I mean, why do we have a whole nother friggin' book with shit about this, I don't know. We got a little bit cooler of a thing. We don't even have problems where if you shoot and miss, you might blow a freaking hole in the wall, and all doors for that section will close until someone, you know, patches the hole or something, and you take mortal wounds, or I don't know. Anyway, we got two tactics. One is a point-blank Overwatch, which allows you to basically fire Overwatch at a interrupted. The model will charge at any time during that phase. You can draw that charge. You can draw Overwatch and go from there. So that was about it on that one. And we got remote access, which you can open walls on D3 doors with a control panel. Both cost one command point to do. Blah, da, da, da. Inside Truehawk is pretty cool. It is a bloodbath in there. It's not a big board. Matter of fact, I'm going to say one quarter of the board itself is space and unusable. So, yeah, we got that. Now, the Truehawk comes with some environment rules. I, myself, think that these should be played at the beginning of every turn. On a 1, also some drawing smoothly, no additional rule. Now, you roll for this at the beginning of the battle, supposedly, but I would like to go. I don't know. You got your crawlways. If a model from your kill team begins your movement phase within 1 inch of a crawlway, crawlway entrance, and more than 1 from an enemy model, so they are not shaken, they get into the. They can basically, like the sewers, use the sewers. You got engine coolant leak. All players subtract 1 to their shooting phase. If either model is firing, either the firing model or its targets are within 6 inches of the engine coolant station. So, and treat all open ground within 1 inch of the engine coolant feature as dangerous terrain. See, this is, let me get to this. We got the Lodges Lockdown Remote Access Tactics, page 23. You get to use that. Cost 2 command points to this during this instead of 1. You got the Grav Plate Malfunction. The player with the greatest strategy advantage must roll D6 at the start of each battle round. On a 1, there is a Grav Malfunction. Every model treats the entire battlefield as difficult terrain for the rest of the round. Models that advance or make charge attempts instead of treat the entire battlefield is dangerous terrain to end of the battle round. And we got compromise hull integrity. Basically, this is what I want inside the Truehawk. Simple as that. When you shoot a modified of a 1 in the shooting phase, you must roll another D6. If the result is another 1, the stray shot pierces the outer hull, and each player must roll a D6 for each model in their kill team. On a 1, the model on a 1, the model being rolled for suffers mortal wound. The hull can only be breached once per battle. This is what I get with that. I think that should be a rule. Every compartment that has a door, unless you like get to make it to a control panel or something, you can bust a hole in a wall. I mean, you're shooting on a freaking spaceship in this asshole fucking Death Watch running around with their frag cannons like killer space marines need a giant weapon that could shoot 2d6 auto hit shit. Anyway, I'm off my little tangent, sorry. But I think the engine coolant leak should always happen in the engine room because there is one. I think the crawlway should always be acceptable. I don't know. I just think it's cool. I mean, but that's the special train for that. Next up, we have the temple. And it's pretty cool. It's got a big killing circle in the middle. Rooms around, all around the side. Panels and different things that you can access during this. Special rules you'll be using with these. If you're playing missions in the Administratum Shrine, you must use the extra rules for close confines. Yeah. 1, no addition rule. 2, Stronghold of Alessiary. Add 1 to the leadership characteristics of all Imperial models and subtract 1 from everyone else. Oh, all Chaos models, sorry. We get Defiled Sanctum. Add a +1 to leadership characteristics of all Chaos and subtract 1, so it's a vice versa. Dust and Debris on a 4. All players must subtract 1 to the hit and shooting phase. I get it, why not? Crypt Tunnels, just like the Causeway. And a 6, Fog of Incense. Subtract 1 for the range characteristics of all ranged weapons to a minimum of 6. And subtract 2 from all charge rolls. Makes sense. It's pretty cute. It's a cute board. I don't mean to really go off really crazy about it or nothing, but I don't know. It's my board. We play my house. We're playing how I want to play it. So, simple as that. Yep, my bomb. I'm going home. Like a lumpet. Now, something this book introduces is something called a commander. It gives us 2 commanders in here. One for the good guys, one for the bad guys. Or, based on how, which you're... I am. We all know the Imperial's a good guy. So, let's not get all wordy and stuff. So, what we got here is commanders can only be used if you're playing missions that says the care team can use a commander. Each commander must have a specialum, and this does not count towards the maximum number of specialties you can include in kill team specialists. Kill team can still only take one of each aspect. Now, we're looking out pretty soon. We're going to commander tactics thing. And I really was hoping we'd have the missing some guard units in here. Maybe the Last Chancers and God's Ghosts. I'm just saying because the Weekender had a kill team thing in Nottingham. And they gave those all as prizes. So, yeah, I'm claiming bullshit. But they're not in here. And see, commander tactics, they have their own tactics they can do. It's called commander tactics. Just like all the other specialists and stuff like that. Commander upgrades, not all commanders are equal. When you include a commander in your kill team, in addition to the weaponry, you can choose the upgrades from them in the form of commander levels, as the commander traits listed upgrades as under data card. Your commander levels will be level 1, 2, 3, and 4, and of course you're going to jump up in price for them. Commander traits differ from tactics. You first include a commander in your team, then you purchase up to 3 different commander traits for them. Each has a different point cost for the purpose of the Battleforge kill teams, as shown on the opposite. We'll get there. Commanders and campaigns. If you're playing a kill team campaign and you are incorporating commanders, then you use the following rules. We're not going there. We got the regular commander casualty rules, which is different than your other guys you roll for. We have our commander tactics and commander traits. An Iron Will, Stoic Hero, Generalist, Master Specialist, Tactical Planner, Designed by Fate, and they're all point levels. I'm not going to go over them. But this is why I got the book. I wanted the box set. I wanted a starship. And I wanted these Elucidian Star Shredders. I'm going to paint them. I will probably use them. But I'm using my Wayward 8 from Wild West Exodus, which are model versions of the cast first from Firefly, and they will be my Star Striders. So, yeah. Okay, as for their tactics, let's see, we got combat medicine, use tactic, you know, I'm not going to go over their tactics, do that for another day when I try and do stuff, but they got ones, you know, 2 command points, I mean, they're all just the tactics that just go towards them. That make them work better as in teams, healer work a little bit better, and such and such. Now let's get to the nuts and bolts of the crew. We have Voidsmen. Now they're running around, they, movement 6, weapon skill 4, blitz skill 3, strength 3, toughness 3, wounds 1, attacks 1, leadership 7, save 5 plus. And the Voidsmen, you can have 3, Void Gunner, you can have 1, Void Master, Nitschich, got me, 1, and Amaxialian, which, this makes it hard for me to do the Wayward 8, because that last one, Axemilian, is a dog, and he's pretty cool. Let's see, this model is armed with Las Gun, Las Pistol, and Concussion Grenades. One Voidsman in your kill team can be a Voidsman Gunner. A Voidsman Gunner can instead be armed with a Roto Cannon, Las Pistol, and Concussion Grenades, which I will make this Jane from Firefly. One Voidsman in your kill team can be Voidmaster, whatever. He's instead armed with Artificer Shotgun, Las Pistol, and Concussion Grenades. Yeah, what was I going to do? This would probably be Mal, because he's the friggin'... Let's see. loyal retainer, blah, 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 do. Yeah, so he's going to be my leader. That'd be Mal. And then we have one voidsman. Your kill team can be a Maximilian. And that's instead of Armor of the Vicious Bite. And it's a freaking dog. It's cool. Now, specialist, they give leader, Voidmaster, whatever, only, heavy. Voidmaster Gunner only, so Jane. Scout, a Maximilian only, so the dog can have scouts. But demolitions and veterans, so that's not super bad. There's a couple people that run with this group. One is basically a assassin. She is a Death Cult assassin. She has a Death Cult Power Blade, Dart Mask, and Concussion Grenades. Movement 7. Pretty good. Weapon skill 3. Good. Ballistic skill 4. Strength 4. Toughness 3. 2 wounds, 4 attacks. 8 leadership, 5 save, and you can only have one. She is a specialist retainer. Always counts on this model, always counts as combat specialist, but does not count towards your maximum number of specialists in your kill team. So right there, you can have 4 specialists now. She's zealous. You can reroll to rolls to hit. With this model in the battle round, which you charge or was charged by enemy model, and she has a 5 plus and a vulnerable save. This will be River. I have a River model. Next up, we have Larson van der Graus. He's a movement 6, 4 weapon skill, 4 ballistic skill, strength 3, toughness 3, 2 wounds, 2 attacks, 8 leadership, save of 4, and you can only have 1. He's armed with a Voltaic pistol and concussion grenades. Special retainer always counts as a comm. He's got the Volgeist array, so friendly Lucian Star Shredder models that wouldn't assist this model have a 5 plus invulnerable save. So I will probably make this the pilot off of Serenity because, yeah, it makes sense. And that's what I'm doing. Let's see. Next up is going to be River's brother, the Doctor. Now, unfortunately, his model does look cool. The Doctor, I think it's just a pansy, but it's part of the Firefly cast, so what do you do? Pretty much the same exact stats, minus leadership, and leadership 7 and save 5 as the one above. Specialist retainer, he's a medic. She's a medic. She's armed with a scalpel claw, last pistol, and concussion grenades. Now, at the end of the movement phase, as long as this model's not shaken or ready, and did not fall back or make a charge attempt this phase, choose a friendly Elucidating and Strider model that with any flesh wounds and is within 1 inch of this model. Roll a d6, and a 4 plus 1 flesh wound is removed from the model. Not bad at all. So that will be the Doctor. So, I'm looking at the Doctor. Name character. I'm looking at the comms guy, name character. No, River, name character. The captain, name character. Jane. The one gunner you can have. That gives me 5, so I need 3 more. In which you got 3 voidsmen. And that's the rest of the crew. And that gives you your wayward 8. And it's just funny the way it's all put out right there. And you can't do anything with these guys. They are armed as they are. It gives you 8 guys to begin with. And let's see the point level. Let's see. Voiceman gunner voice. So 6, 1, 2, 1, 2, that's 12, 18, 30. Yeah, so I think that Games Workshop kind of did something to kind of make it so you had 8 for, I don't know. But just with your team, you can't do nothing with them. That is what it is. Now, the model, so it does come with a character. It comes with Lucia Vaughn, or Vane. She is your commander, and you can run her at a few point levels. And the point levels you can run her at is point level 1 should be 45 points, 260, 375, and 400 points. And the kill team, holy shit. So what is the difference when you're playing different point levels. That's the thing. As models with air on pistol, monocure rapier, concealed weapons, disruption field generator. If you play, you can pay the 10 points, you can pay the 15 points. You know what? I don't really know what really is this. The whole thing, why would you ever want to play a commander at level 4? As you can choose for. And kill team. Multi special art. Okay, I don't know. You can just use a different stuff. I don't see it going on. I mean, she's got some. Her weapons and stuff are pretty cool. I mean, it just is. They're just cool. I don't know. Other than that. But we will go through with concussion grenades, because that's a new one we saw. D3, grenade D3. If this target's within 1 inch of a terrain feature, add 1 to this weapon's strength and damage characteristics. So that's pretty cool. Dart mask for the 1, check wounds on a 2+. Yeah, I just don't really know why. What the big deal is to running a level 4 commander levels. You must first include commander and kill team. You must choose whether that commander level 1, 2, 3, and 4. Different levels, each commander with an individual point cost for the purchase. Battle 4 King describes in the appendix for that commander's faction. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, got me. I friggin' don't know. But anyway, she's a pretty cool model. Not gonna have to worry about painting her up right away. You got your strategist specialist. You got your inspired tactic level 2 strategist. So maybe that's her. She will strategist specialist. Let me see. Yeah, because this is. Yeah, she can pick the strategist. It's a new thing, specialist. So it allows you to pick the different tactics you might have there. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. Then we get into the Gelprox Infected. These are Nurgle mutants. Not going over their tactics, but they look pretty damn sweet. I mean, not really bad at all. But problem is, really damn sweet means really damn harder to paint, too. So that sucks. We have Nightmare Hawk, which is going to be a big guy. I mean, he does have the word name Hawk. We got Screamer, a Nashor Screamer, and a Nightmare Hawk. They are movement 4, weapon skill 4+, no ballistic skill, 5 strength, 5 toughness, 4 wounds, 3 and 4 attacks, 7 and 8 leadership, 6 save, and you have 2 of the Hawks and 1 of the Screamer. This model is armed with hideous mutations. 1 Nightmare Hawk and your kill team can be a Nashor Screamer. Nashor Screamer is armed with a hideous mutations and a plague cleaver. These guys are disgustedly resilient, just like Nurgle. So each time a model with this ability uses a wound, roll a d6 and a 5+, it does not lose that wound. And they got the horrific visage, subtract 1 for your leadership when you're 6 inches of one of these things. We got the Gelprox mutant. This is 1 wound guy, so he's got 5 movement, 4 ballistic skill, weapon skill, strength 4, toughness 4, 1 wound, 2 attacks. You got 3 of these guys. This model's armed with frag grenades and multi-limbs and improvised weapons. They got the disgustingly resilient, and they got the Gelprox mask. This model has a 5+ invulnerable save. Each time you roll unmodified saving throw of 6 for this model in the fight phase, the model is not shaken. The enemy model that made this attack suffers 1 wound after it has made all of its attacks. Next up, we got bugs. They fly, they're swarms. They're 10 movement, 4 weapon skill, 2 strength, 2 toughness, 1 wound, D3 attacks, 8 leadership, 7 save, 7+ save. How the fuck do you get a 7+ save? But anyway, you probably just got hot. I don't know. You got 4 of these things. They're hatchlings. You had 1 to injury roll for this model. However, this model can never suffer flesh wounds. Any flesh wounds result in this model have no effect. Buzzing swarm, subtract one from this subtract one from hit rolls made for attacks that target this model. In addition, this model automatically passes falling tests. They're mindless. Eye stinger swarms cannot be specialists or part of a fire team and cannot gain experience. Fair enough, the bugs. We got a glitchling. This is the guy is movement 5, 4, weapon skill, 2 strength, 2 toughness, 1 wound, 2 attacks, 7 leadership, 6 plus save, and you have 4 of these guys. They're, of course, disgustingly resilient. Demonic, to get 5 plus invulnerable save, to get the weapon glitch. As long as this model is not shaken, subtract 1 from his rules, made for attacks with ranged weapon that target this model. And they're squishable. This model only received the benefit of disgustingly resilient ability against attacks with damage characteristic of 1. Okay, we got the Cursed Might next up. 8 movement, 4 plus, weapon skill, strength, toughness 2, wounds 1, 2 attacks, leadership 8, 6 plus save, you get 4 of these guys. Leaping insectoids, you can reroll field charge rolls with this model. Whenever this model piles and consolidates, it can move 6 inches instead. They're vermin, so you add 1 to energy rolls made for this model. And curse mites cannot be specialists. Man, we got that too. We got the slug grub. Oh, no, we're just looking at all bunch of little nasty little bugs that come with this nerval. Yeah, like I said, I didn't really go through them yet. They just look daunting, and I'm not ready to paint them yet, so I didn't put them together. Let's see. These guys have caustic blood. These guys do have a ballistic skill 4, strength 3, toughness 2. Toughness 2 is not really all that really. Not really anything to write home about. But if this model is taking out action in the fight phase, roll a d6. On a 6, the enemy model that made the attack that took this model out of action suffers from 1 mortal wound after they make their attacks. And vermin. They had plus 1, and they're mindless, cannot be specialists, blah, blah, blah. Now, so, let's see what we're looking at. We have a whole... Well, we got one... We only got 3 things that can take freaking specialists. Not a lot of range. Well, at least not a ballistic skill. We're looking at 2 things with ballistic skill. So, in the matchup on the spaceship, whatever they're called, Star Strider is going to be a little bit more advantageous. Then we got the character for them. We got Vulgar Thrice Cursed. That guy's pretty cool. He's got a furnace in his belly, and so it's all pretty cool. Let's see. He's got movement 4, 3 plus weapon skill, 6 plus ballistic skill, 5 strength, 5 toughness, 5 wounds, 4 attacks, leadership 9. Save a 6 plus, and you can only have 1. He's disgustingly resilient. He's a bionic abomination, so he has a 6 plus armor save. Horrible visage. His specialties are combat, demolition, strength, veteran, zealot. And so strength is the new one we're looking at here for these guys. Let's see, we got his own little tactics. Points on these guys is not that much outside the Nightmare Hawk and Nasher Screamers. They are 31 points apiece. Not really all that bad. Let's see, we're the strength specialists. Muscular is what you'll start out with without using any command points. Worry about what the specialists do, but it adds plus 1 to the strength characteristic. So this guy's actually strength 6 if you take that. And strategist specialist is resourceful. As long as this model is on the battlefield and not shaken, you gain 1 additional command point at the beginning of your battle roll. So if you are playing with characters and you take the strategist and you have your leader, you can make 3 per turn. In the book, we got a couple open play missions. And we got a few narrative play missions. And, well, a few more than this open play. Then we have match play. We have heist, shuttlejackers, retrieve the relic, and consecrate with blood. Let's see. Advanced rules. This page can inflict kill teams, especially describe you play historical campaign. Shows you how to go ahead and do historical campaign. What order to play them in, and combining kill zones. So, just to create larger kill zones. And that is what this book offers. This box offers. It's pretty. I do recommend getting it because the ship is cool. But if you're not going to play with either one of them, maybe it's just not worth it to get it unless you have to have it all. It's kind of like Pokemon. Got to collect them all, right? Well, that's it. I trudged through this little book. Had a few little things I didn't really care for, that they should have done, that they didn't do. Models are pretty, of course. And, the game is fun. And I'll leave you with that. We'll probably come back next time, and we'll talk about Tau, and what I'm thinking about doing with them, going over some builds. A lot of different builds, and people just saying, hey, run three spell shoots, and run three Pathfinders with rail rifles, and it seems to work. It would work, but we'll see. New releases came out this week with the Necrons Tau and Walls of Martyr. It's pretty cool. I love the fact that they keep pumping out these kill zones for us to play on. It's a lot. I like it. I like it. I don't even know. This may just be the new 40k play. I don't know. I'm going to leave you with that. And until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
Decisions are made, not born undone. It's what it hurt a lot.